Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's Mike Shope.
Hello, hello.
And the Bulldog.
I'm at a place called Vertigo.
On WGR. 50.
Everything I wish I didn't know. You.
The Bulldog.
Give me something. I feel.
Sports Radio 550.
Just feels, just that one was not on the air. That one makes me think about, what am I doing right now that you could be recording? What am I saying? There's something you go to bed worrying about. Not whether McKenzie's going to work out returning kicks.
The next open will be about Dalton Schultz needing less than 5 points tonight.
For me to win in Fishbowl?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, what are the odds? What are the odds, Bulldog? Dalton Schultz, 5.4, over under. Bulldog left, fantasy.
Question. On behalf of everyone driving around on their evening commute that is asking who the blank is Dalton Schultz, I'll ask. I'll throw myself on the grenade. Who's Dalton Schultz?
Tight end for Dallas. One of the two. We have Blake Jarwin, and you have Dalton Schultz there battling for targets.
That's a name I knew.
Blake Jarwin.
All right.
Yep. Well,
I like your chances.
I don't like my chances. I think he probably gets to 5.4, but we'll see. Maybe not. Philadelphia, Dallas tonight. Bills over Washington. Fellow NFC East team, 43-21. So we will not. What will be the talk this week? Last week, as we mentioned with Eric Wood, and I wanted his opinion on it. You know, just at times last week, it felt a little much to be questioning Allen. I did think it was reasonable to do that from the first two games, but it was two games, and for the most part, we all thought he had moved past those struggles, and that was, you know, really why it was a story. But I don't think there was anything Bills wise we talked about more. He's the quarterback, so right. It's usually he'll usually win this.
That's how it goes. Yeah, I don't know. I had no problem with that subject all week. My conscience is clean on it. I said it every time it came up. Like, I'm going to need him to be where he, you know, closer to where he was last season if I'm really going to go win big. It wasn't like I didn't believe he would get there. It just, like, you know, the longer you go without seeing that thing you do, you start to wonder, can he still do that thing he did? And then he did it yesterday, and like, okay, so that's been put to bed. Like, I don't know. I don't need to invent a crisis. You did too. We were there in the improvisation, and then I don't know, you couldn't tell, but my unit sort of dropped out for a second, so I missed some of what you were saying. And when I got back up, you were saying the targets are there for Diggs, so I'm not worried. But as we were, while I couldn't talk to you for 30 seconds or less, I was thinking, Are we going to have a Diggs thing here? Is that where we're going? When is Diggs going to have his big, huge game? When is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's next. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really legitimately suggesting that there's a problem. Just like, what are we going to be worried about now? Well, when is Diggs going to have his explosion game?
Yeah, a guess. it's a good question, but it's just such a guess. I wonder. I felt
right.
Like, They are cruising, and the Chiefs lost again. So, we knew that game next week was massive. It's sort of the possibility, maybe distance between the Bills and the Chiefs. Anyway, you can just sit here all day and say stuff like that. It's meaningless. But Allen's performance yesterday would silence any of the other discussion. We'll just end the other discussion.
No, yeah, I mean, he absolutely looked like 2020 Josh Allen yesterday. To me, without any question, no qualifiers, no disclaimers, no nothing. It just looked like, okay, that, well, there it is. So, you know, it's in there. And there was a crowd, and it wasn't a road crowd, I know, but whatever. So, like, I feel pretty comfortable about that. And really, the state of things, I mean, I don't know how you can't be feeling great. They're playing these backup quarterbacks. I got another one this week. And so I don't know what the defense really is going to be when they get you know, really tested. But they've had a pretty decent draw here the first few weeks with how it's fallen with the QBs, and they've been up to the time. I mean, they've just looked great. You know, I mean, really, there's a garbage time touchdown yesterday, and then what do you got? You got a screen, you know, one play where, you know, a guy makes a nice play against you, and then that fluky kickoff thing, and that's a short field. So I don't know. I feel real good about the defense overall. I think they're pretty healthy, right? So I don't know, man. Like, let's just keep her rolling, get through this Houston game, and like bring on the Chiefs. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Right? Can we move that up?
All right.
That's not going to be possible. Here's Nick with us on WGR. Hi, Nick.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about the atmosphere yesterday. I only really had one complaint, was that I'm probably not going to be bringing my son to a Bills game anytime in the near future. But other than that, I mean, the atmosphere was absolutely outstanding. I mean, my fiance came to me for her first Bills game yesterday, and she was more into the game than I've ever seen her be into the game before. She loved it. She said that being there instead of watching that TV was so much better for her. And then what caught me was in the fourth quarter, I believe it was, when we put up 42, I looked at her and I said, "You want to go and beat the traffic out of here? Because, I mean, this game's pretty much a wrap." And she looked at me and she didn't want to go. You know, she was having way too much fun. So, you know, I really thought that was great. Another thing that I wanted to say is, I've heard so many people calling into the show. I listen to the show all the time. Everybody's so worried about the inaccuracy with Allen and him not putting up the numbers that he did last year. I mean, yesterday proved that he still can. But, I mean, at this point, if the defense is going to play this well, I mean, do you guys think that maybe this is a year where we won't need a 5,000-yard quarterback?
No, if you're really asking me directly, my answer is no. I don't know about 5,000 yards per se, but, you know, I might
have tipped what my answer would be to this in saying what I just said about the defense. I mean, they're playing great, but they're playing Taylor Heinicke and Jacoby Brissett, and even a broken down, just 1 foot in the grave as a player, Roethlisberger. So, I mean, I'm impressed, I mean, with what the defense has done, but, you know, you got to show me you can – you know, do something that's very hard to do, which is handle Kansas City. The last time this team with a lot of the same players, I mean, they've upgraded their pass rush. We'll see what that does for them when they get to the Chiefs. But Kelce and Hill were just running buck naked wide open in that AFC title game. And I'm even going with wide open there to exaggerate a little. They just could not cover anybody in that game. So we'll see when you get a real stern test what this defense is made of. I mean, I like a lot of the players over there, but they had a very tough time the last time they played that team. So that to me is the test. Shutting down the Texans, if you do it this week, and handling Heinicke and Brissett, to me, it's admirable. Those are NFL teams, and those are actual NFL players, even if they're backups. But come on, it is not. I mean, the Chiefs is that's the bar exam. It's the big one.
Yeah, that's a couple – interesting. That's a couple different things, right? Like, it's how good are they? You're saying you can't really know what it is yet because of the competition, and that's right. I'm also – my answer is more I don't want to say I don't care, but if like, the caller – thank you, Nick, and I want to talk about what you said about the atmosphere too. Is this a team, or is there any team – where, like, now you can do it with defense and your quarterback maybe can be just above average, not elite? I just wouldn't bet on that. Every year is different. I mean, the last year was a year where points went up, passing went up. It was all about passing and offense, and the Bills were right there at the front. But the top defensive teams in the league were all in the playoffs, you know? So it's not like it doesn't matter. And the Super Bowl was the defense dominated. It just goes round and round with this. Like the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl and lost to New England, we heard about how important defense was. But those teams are never even in the Super Bowl without the great offenses that they had. That's what I want. That's what I've wanted forever from the Bills. That's what the Bills were when they were better than they've ever otherwise been in the 90s. That's the name of the game. And I don't look at this season so far, back to the first point, like what you talked about, is like, oh, they're different defensively. I'm not sure they're different, but that doesn't have to be anything, you know, anything bad. I mean, last year the defense was average and they were one game away. Now, you also talked about playing the Chiefs. Do I really think, are we supposed to really think that you shut the Chiefs down? I mean, because I don't. The Super Bowl was an anomaly. And they got behind, and it was just desperation, and like, you know, they scored, what, 9 points?
And they had big injuries on their offensive line.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So, you know, we'll see what that looks like. But I don't think that's the league, really. I think what you need to be able to do to win it all is score like this. And I've been saying it a lot lately. If you don't, somebody else will doing that. Somebody else will be able to score like this. The Bills defensively have been very nice. They have been better up front than they were last year. They've had stellar games. Epinesa's game in Miami. Like, they've been good. Milano has been a star so far. These safeties are so good, and they just make it possible to, I'm sure, I mean, on levels that I can't even appreciate from what I know about the game versus like what coaches know about the game, but it just must be true. It's said how they have the freedom to do more because Hyde and Poyer are just so solid, experienced, you know, all of it. White is great. They're okay at the other position too. Injuries are for other teams, apparently, because these guys
Aaron
are all...
Johnson, too, is real nice.
Yeah, that's right. Like, injuries are for other teams. Other teams get hurt. Like, it's just... it's good. Yeah. It's a good thing. But I don't think... I would not bet, whether it's the Bills or anybody else, I don't care if it's the Bills that you like or any other team, I would not expect, like, a championship in this league anymore without elite quarterback play. Because those guys, and Allen has been one of those guys, are going to score in the 30s. And if they don't, they're going to lose. So, what?
Right. That's exactly where we started the hour, right? I mean, that's why I said what I said all last week and just repeated it, you know, 10 minutes ago or 15 minutes ago. Like, I think I'm going to need him playing at that level if I'm going to take the Chiefs down. Or someone else like the Chiefs. Yeah, I don't know. The Chargers just beat them.
Right, maybe it's them.
You know, that's what I'm going to have. That's what I think. You know, now if I'm better, like you know, what did I really do? I went and I added pass rush. So and like that's the key to it in the Bills' view. Like something they were lacking that Tampa had that they didn't, and so they're trying to make that work. And, like, I don't think that results in you shutting a team like the Chiefs down. But if you can get a play or two that you didn't get last year, I mean, that could be all it takes. If your offense can perform like it, I think it will need to stay in a game with that team. I mean, you know, last year in the AFC title game, things were compounded. I mean, the defense was getting just trampled, and the offense was not competitive. I mean, they were gifted a touchdown early. They had a lead, and then they just folded up. So they had big problems in that game on defense, but the offense did not do them any favors at all in that game either. So you know, I need both things. You're going to win a championship. You're going to have to make some plays on Patrick Mahomes probably, and you're also going to need your offense to get probably to 35 to beat them, even if you get those plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about the point Nick made about the atmosphere, too. I mean, we were not out there yesterday, but I had a friend I mentioned on postgame, a friend who's in that I grew up with, who's here from Colorado, and I haven't talked to him today, but It just had to be the perfect day. He had not been to the stadium since the 90s. It had to be the perfect day. Guy called earlier about his dad. He surprised his dad and took him to the game.
Yep.
And he said he also had no problem getting in. There were the with the vaccine status and everything. There was some conversation about that, but otherwise, like, just what a perfect day that was. Probably. Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Zach. Thanks for calling us.
You know, I just want to bring up, you know, it's really nice that they're winning, but the thing that I really like is this team just really seems like really good people. You know, the two things I saw was giving the kid to the ball, and then the way that they took out Dawson Knox, took out that sound lady, and everything was good, you know, that all the charity stuff that's going on. I see a lot of teams, and they're good, but they're just, you know, a lot of them are not great people. Seeing that the building the people and winning, I think it's really good.
Yeah, you know, fine. I don't want to dispute that at all. I think a lot of assumptions are made.
Just give the kid the ball. I mean, sure. Lots of guys in the league do that, and he did it yesterday, and I'm sure made that kid and his family's day, if not year. I mean, what a cool thing to get a football from a guy that scored a touchdown in the NFL.
Right, sure. I never want to try to guess it, like what, I don't know, what people are like in that sort of on that sort of level. But I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's just not a leap I usually think about making. Is there anything more to say about the stadium? The caller mentioning just how perfect it was. I was just throwing that in before we took that call. I mean, we were not there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I think I did not hear any complaining about it taking time to get in, nor did we hear. I mean, the Bills for the opener asked people to go early to the gates, and the stadium looked very full by kickoff in the opener, and same with yesterday, as far as I could tell. So I feel like we would have heard complaining about it if there were like a lot of legitimate complaining being done about it. So I'm going to assume it went pretty smoothly. You know, I did see some chatter. I don't know how legitimate it was, from people suggesting that they showed pretty much anything they wanted to the person checking the COVID stuff and got pushed through. Like, it just wasn't a big deal. But I don't know if people are just trying to be funny or if that legitimately was happening. I don't know. I'm not going through the process, so I don't know. So that was the only thing that I heard that made me sort of go, I don't love how that sounds. But again, I don't know how authentically true it is.
Some of that's going to happen. I saw five fans turned away yesterday. How many is it for beer on a normal Sunday that are turned away?
Right,
Joe? Right. Like, you've seen that
too
before.
Too inebriated to get through the gate.
We're not letting you. Yes, that happens.
Yeah. I've seen that happen, yes.
Yeah. It's never happened to me.
Not to me, but I've seen it happen, yes. I've been in the proximity of that happening.
You've been around it. All right. Kansas City loses. Baltimore wins on a 66-yard field goal after not being given a delay of game penalty they deserved on the play before. But what an awesome finish. Fourth and 19
right,
on the drive already.
Right,
they converted.
They converted a fourth and 19. That was how I see you. You had all this yesterday on postgame. I didn't see any of the highlights until after we got off the air yesterday. How in the world does Watkins not go out of bounds on that play?
I know he should have. I know.
What in the world is he doing? I mean, dude, what are you doing? You've been in the league for how long? Like, what are you doing?
There was another play with him in another game where did he not go out of bounds? And I'm like, why didn't you go score your touchdown? What game was that? That was the Raider game, I guess it was. I don't know. You know, reading Sammy Watkins' mind is not something I want to try to do because it's probably – he might be one of the tougher players to mind read, I think, to try to figure out. The lizard stuff.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that? I don't know. I'm not looking to get into it. He's had some interesting, maybe bizarre comments over the years. I liked him here, but yeah, I mean, whatever. What are we talking about? Should he have run out of bounds? Yes, he should have run out of bounds to, you know, give them a better chance of winning. They'll take it 2-1. Baltimore at Denver is one of the better games on the slate coming up. Denver a one-point favorite at home, 3-0. They've almost never even been losing so far. I think Carolina has not been losing literally at all yet in any of their three games.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey not going on IR, by the way. I'm not sure. I think this might be in sports, but which is coming up. Their coach said that he might not need three games off. So I guess that's good. He still could end up sitting out that length of time or more, but they're not putting him on IR, which I guess is a good thing. This is the week some players who've been on IR can come off. Curtis Samuel is one for Washington, and I know he was practicing a little bit last week, so they want to wait to see what he looks like on Wednesday. And Rashad Bateman for the Ravens is another. He's been on IR since the season started. He got hurt in training camp. And they are so thin with their injuries that they'd probably be excited to get him back as soon as possible. We'll take a timeout. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, 803-0550 to reach us. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
It was 26 seconds, right? I believe 26, 27. Yep. We had three timeouts. You know, give a lot of credit to Dennis Locke and to Mark Lubick. Those guys do a great job up in the box with me in terms of situational football and game management and then communication between those two and Sean and myself. You know, Sean does a great job of putting us in different situations throughout the week. It's kind of how we start practice, usually at the end of the half or at the end of the game. You know, the communication, you know, when you're up in the box of, hey, what's the next step? What are we planning on doing? And we're all on the same page. And, you know, let's be aggressive here. We got three timeouts.
Brian Daboll explaining how it went end of the half yesterday. Daboll, as you may have heard, lost his grandmother. Our condolences to him. The Bills improved to 2-1. And now it's Houston, and they are favored by 17. We'll be talking a lot about that, I think, this week. That's almost a record amount for the Bills. Joe's had that BetQL says they've only twice been favored by more. I was at both games. Those years, like the going to see the Bills play the Colts and the Patriots were not quite the preseason, but they were just like the easy tickets to get. The easier tickets to get were Indianapolis and New England because they were terrible. So one of these games was 1991 against Indianapolis, and it was over at halftime and just like, okay, I'm at a Bills game. And then New England the next year was another one. There's a list out there. Joe tweeted it. Of their highest spreads. Of the 10 times they've been favored by 14 or more, they've covered three of the 10. They've won every game, I think. Or maybe not. Maybe not.
No, they lost.
They lost a Patriot game where they were a huge favorite once.
Someone had that they lost back-to-back games. Week 13 and 92, they were 16.5-point favorite against the Colts. They lost 13-12 in overtime. 16-13.
16-13, okay.
And thanks. Then the next week, week 13, they lost to the Jets after being a 17-point favorite, 24-17.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Back-to-back games, they were favored by 16.5 and more and lost.
And lost both games outright?
Outright.
Okay.
Ouch.
Those are the only two losses on there, though.
That Jet game was a home game, and that's right after Dennis Byrd happened. Remember that?
Yeah.
Dennis Byrd had been injured, I think, in Detroit. Maybe, no, that's not right. That was a different injury. It wasn't in Detroit, but he was hurt like maybe the week before, and so that was the narrative the next week that the Jets were inspired and they upset the Bills. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a pick six in the fourth quarter.
The Jets starting quarterback in that game? Not a person I'd ever heard of.
Nagel?
Browning Nagel.
Louisville.
Yep.
Yeah, the Jets were not too different from the Colts and the Patriots in this way I'm describing.
I think he ended up playing for the Buffalo Arena League team.
Yes, Destroyers, right? I think he did.
Wow, would he be the only one for that? Played for the Destroyers, played against the Bills?
No.
There's a lot more than that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't probably.
A lot more, but...
You know, journeyman, borderline NFLers who got a game against the Bills and then played in the Arena League, I would bet there's probably... Or played for the Buffalo team in the... Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
You see, you mentioned Carolina, right? You mentioned how Carolina has been leading like all year.
Yeah.
Did you see this on the Jets? Rich Freebar, who works with Warren Sharp.
Yes, I know him.
This morning I saw it. Oh, you do know Rich?
I met him. I met him at the Expo in Canton in August.
Okay. I like how I said, oh, you know Rich? Like, I know him. I have no idea. Sorry.
He helped me. So I was at the bar at this big outdoor party, and I was buying a round, and I had like 5 beers to carry, and I was never going to be able to do it. So he just said, can I help you with those? And so, yes, that's when I got to know him.
I was not.
Lord Reeves.
The Jets, for folks who haven't seen this, the Jets have been trailing by 10 or more points for 74% of their offensive snaps so far this year. That seems pretty bad. The next closest team is Jacksonville, just above 50%, 52.2%. 74, three quarters almost of their offensive snaps, they've been down by 10 or more points already. Wow.
You know,
that's a tough way to live.
They were never supposed to be good, but was it supposed to be this bad? All the rookie quarterbacks are struggling. Well, Lance isn't in yet, so I guess he's off the hook. But Mac Jones.
He isn't in until they get to, like, third and goal at the end of the half and need to get in the end zone. And it was fourth and goal, I think, at the end of the half last night. And he ran a bootleg in.
If only they approached
Garoppolo had like 3 straight incompletions.
If only they approached the whole game with the same sort of need to get in the end zone.
Right.
Then he might play more. I mean, I was tweeting about that last night. I was hot about that last night. I mean, come on, San Francisco. But at the same time, who knows? Rookie quarterbacks. Everybody wanted Fields on the field, and then that went as badly as a game has ever gone for an offense. They had one passing yard.
But I know, but did you read about what they did in the game, like how they handled him?
Yes.
There was very little, like hardly any play, like rollout, bootleg action. Like they didn't use his legs at all. And, I mean, what in the world? I mean, 1 yard's 1 yard. You had a terrible day, and he looked overmatched. But, man, I don't think that coach is – that coach should get fired over that. You bring this guy in, and that's how you use him? I mean, that was just nonsensical to me. But,
yes.
You know, right, he doesn't look ready. Like, to me, the game plan looked – like the coach trying to validate the Dalton nonsense from the summer.
Yes.
Is what, like, reading about how they used Fields yesterday looks like Matt Nagy trying to be able to stand up. See, I told you.
He, by the way, at BetOnline, is now the favorite to be the first coach fired at minus 125.
That thing is moving every week. I guess Zach Taylor's off the hook for now.
They've won a couple. Plus 1,000 for him.
Plus 1,000.
But here comes Joe Judge, second place at Joe plus 400.
It's like a video game horse race where the horse is always moving around and all these lead changes. The first coach fired.
Make way for Joe Judge.
Here he comes.
The bar has also been sent so high.
His jockey is cracking the whip.
That team is so bad, too.
Like, this is normally, I feel like, what happened with rookie quarterbacks. Like, they would come in, maybe not that bad, but they would struggle. And they'd throw picks, and you wouldn't blast them right away because it's just what happens. But, like, it started with Watson, and then Mahomes obviously wasn't a rookie, but his first action. Mayfield set the rookie touchdown record. Herbert last year. Like, there's so many guys recently that have just showed up away, and they're just awesome that – I don't know if anyone has time for you're taking your lumps anymore or like you're struggling out of the gates.
It's exactly right. We moved all the way to why shouldn't they be good right away? Look at Trevor Lawrence. Like he was the perfect prospect, not Zach Wilson, who's struggling. Like he was almost nobody's number two best guy. He was the Jets' number two best guy. Lance isn't playing. Mac Jones, I don't know. Like where was the ceiling? Fields, I agree. Like, that's weird. It's like they're sabotaging him or something. They had a Myles Garrett problem, by the way. Part of that was they could not block Myles Garrett.
Right, sure.
4.5 sacks, and there were times Fields wanted to get away and couldn't. But, yes, I mean, the game plan seemed, like, ridiculous for his skill set. Lawrence, though, what is going on there? I mean, he leads PFF, maybe Sam Monson tomorrow. Like, he's way up there in worst passes, most misses, things like that. And so you can only, same with the Bears, I suppose, you can only blame the coach for so much. And Urban Meyer seems like, what? How long is he for this? But when you're talking about, this was Allen too, in his way, the last couple games. You're talking about, you know, you're there, it's time to deliver the ball, where is the ball? Is it on the money or is it not? And I guess Lawrence, I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, the pass rush only gets you so much, you know, like, oh, he's under siege. I know, like, it's hard. But when you have a chance to make a throw, you got to make a throw. You know, and you're not getting tackled every play. It may seem like it when you took, you know, 9 sacks is obviously, I mean, that's a monster day for a defense. But, sure, I mean, yeah, you only go so far with that, you know, trying to protect the player and blaming the coach.
Right.
But I just thought, I just thought how Chicago handled Fields yesterday just didn't really make any sense to me. But
didn't go well, so you should try something else.
Not to absolve the kid of any blame at all. Yeah, right.
Time out. More Buffalo Bills football Monday next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Talking about our mental health has the power to save lives. A great example of that was Odyssey's I'm Listening Mental Health Special, which aired here on WGR last Thursday. Carson Daly, Dr. Alfie, and a cast of generous guests, including Wolfgang Van Halen, Shakira, Lil Nas X, and more, shared wonderful insight and tips for coping. If you missed that special or want to hear it again, it's on the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com now. Please remember, you are definitely not alone. Here I'm Listening now on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, Sneaky Joe. Tonight, Philadelphia at Dallas in Monday Night Football. It's Dallas's home opener here at the tail end of Week 3. Lance is with us. Go ahead, Lance.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just wanted to say I was at the game. It was a great place to be on a Sunday. Beautiful weather. And I thought the balanced offense that they played wasn't necessarily the balance between run and pass plays, but that everyone got involved and kind of had some success.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. They spread the ball around quite a bit. Were there maybe as many as 6 receivers who caught more than 2 passes in the game? I think maybe I got to look at the box score and tell you that for sure. But yeah, I mean, they Gabe Davis barely played, but he had a wonderful reception on maybe the Bills' very first drive.
It was their first good play. The game started short run. I'm trying to find this. So they had the second down play was a pass to Singletary that was like a bullet that he had to reach up for right through his hands. So then third down, then they had a false start. And like the game started with nothing run, incomplete pass that was high and or Singletary wasn't ready for, or both. And then a penalty. So third and 15, here we go. This is we've been talking all week about whether, you know, their offense is different, like, or if the quarterback is regressing or whatever. And then the next play is a pass to Davis for maybe 20 or 25 yards. It was his only catch, I think.
Yep, 1 for 23. Yep.
And so from there, touchdown and no worries.
Yep. And I was right. It is 6. 6 players had 2 or more receptions. Beasley 11, Sanders 5, Diggs 6, Knox 4, Moss 3. Tommy Sweeney had 2 receptions for 2 yards, by the way.
Yeah, why
yards up a little bit.
Why be rude with the yards? Just I'll take one at a time.
Sorry, I could have left that out. I just whatever. I was looking at.
No, I don't mean you.
Oh, sorry.
I don't mean you. Lee Smith, by the way, a couple of catches this year and a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, I needed that.
Pitts,
you're gonna give me these Kyle Pitts talks. I thought he missed the team bus yesterday.
Right.
Until, like, the fourth quarter, finally, 5 points. Oh, thank you, Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I know. Hang in there.
Right. We won it.
Every tight end seemed like they were down, though, yesterday.
Hockenson had 2 targets, I think. 2 for 10.
Did Waller have a down game?
He ended up with like six, maybe.
Kelsey was having a down game, but then he got it going.
Kelsey got there. Kittle got there.
Kittle was
huge. Awesome. What a great player.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bulldog. I would trade for Pitts if I were in the league.
Tyler Conklin was tight end one on the week, though.
Minnesota. Knox had a play.
Knox had a... I mean, I don't know. I've not seen every tight end play from the week, but geez, I'd be hard-pressed to imagine a better catch. I mean, what a great catch that was.
Yeah.
What was your guys' target bet on him last year?
40.
It wasn't targets. It was receptions.
It was receptions.
Right.
Okay.
Well, 40.
He's got 10 through three games so far this year. I know you didn't make the bet, but...
10 catches?
Yeah, like, this is that year so far. Like, that over 40. Yeah.
Yep.
You're on pace to win if we had that bet. I mean,
he's on pace for... Quick math. Is that
53?
Yeah. That's, I mean, one of the best ever for a Bills tight end.
Maybe just to be a sport, I might throw that bet back out there. I'm not really
right now
thinking of betting against him. It's just something to do.
With him at 10.
Something to do. Well, maybe. Over under 45. Anybody want that? I'll go under 45. I'm not negative toward the player. It's just
right, right. It's just there's a lot of mouths to feed in this offense, and
yes,
you know,
right.
He's got 10 already, and you know maybe he'll have 20 in six more weeks or something. I have no idea. Yeah, sure. Yeah, fine.
45.
All right.
Deal.
Yeah, I'm in.
I feel bad.
The usual 500. What do you want?
The usual 500. I feel bad that I feel like I sort of roped you into the golf. I know you said it was fine. You want I do, because you know you're. Yeah. I don't know if I don't follow these guys, and you know I won.
Harris English, the worst.
Joe, so Ryder
this guy caught. Stinks.
Stinks. Joe would have. Well, you had that draft the other day. Joe would have won. English, the Ryder Cup was already won by U.S. He was up two with four holes left on Westwood, and I had Westwood. You just got the matchups you got, right? Because we had our players and whoever they were going to play. You had no control over that. So Joe is up two with four holes left, and he lost three holes in a row. Maybe it was five holes left. He lost three holes there.
There was a draw in the middle there somewhere. But oh, he lost two, then
no,
I think he...
They went to 18 tied.
Right.
They went to 18 tied. Had they tied, you didn't have English.
No, but
you had Westwood. And I was chasing you. Had they tied, we would have split it. But and then what did he do? He sort of quit the hole or something.
He's 150 from the hole in the middle of the fairway, and he leaves it 25 yards short, and he gives Westwood, they go look at the ball, and he just gives them that, you're good. He concedes, because this is the last match. They've already won the Ryder Cup.
He wants to get to the party.
He wants to go smoke his cigars and celebrate, and meanwhile, I've got money on the line here.
Yeah, you do.
And he's just like, whatever. It's your hole.
Now,
it's over.
Now, did you see, Joe, I know you did, because you told me about it. A guy bet a parlay on every singles match.
$8.
I saw that, yeah.
$8.
To win $966,290.
And he won. Which meant predicting the ties correctly.
Yeah, Spieth and Fleetwood and Morikawa and Hovland. He predicted they would tie.
God.
And he had Westwood.
So that's where the big odds come in, because it wouldn't be $1 million for $8 without some heavy underdogs along the way. And the tie was like paid plus 650, I think, at least once. I looked at it.
The ties were 650 and 550, yeah.
Right? Because, you know, you're betting on a tie. But he does twice, and they both hit.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. How many $8 parlays would that guy have done? What if he did like 100? You're still like, it's insane. You won on one of them. It's all you need to do.
Right. Yeah, you're pretty good. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. I didn't. I liked having the bet. I spent some time thinking about what to do. I picked four Europeans because I thought the Americans would do what they usually do at this event.
Lose.
Just choke. So it didn't happen. Instead, they're shotgunning beers in the afternoon tea box before they went out. Like, just they were all set. So, you know, I appreciate that, but you know, whatever. It was a golf bet.
19-9.
No less prepared for that golf bet than I am for the majors golf bet. So it was fine.
Okay, I wonder what you're saying by that. 19-9, the biggest rout in the history of the event.
Yeah.
Well, USA. All right, Well, Dawson Knox over. You have over 45. That is official.
All right.
Emmanuel Sanders had a great day, and I've got a fun stat on him, and also another receiver in the league like him that set a record yesterday. That's so, similar sort of category. We will talk about that next. You can join us 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.